Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That was a blessing. Just a blessing to be in church on Sunday night. Amen. I trust that you believe that, and that's why you're here. I trust that you're not here because somebody forced you to come, but that you look forward to coming to church, and you know that as we come to church, you're going to sense the presence of God in this place. You're going to be able to sing praises under the name of the Lord, and then receive what God has for you through the message of song and then through the preaching of the word. It's something that we have need of. If we have a desire to live a spiritual life, you need to have spiritual food. Amen. You're not going to get it anywhere else. You're not going to get it from the television. You're not going to get it in the mall. You got to come to church, and that's God's design for his people, and that's where God's going to meet with us, and that's where you're going to receive that spiritual help that he has for you. And so praise the Lord for opportunity to be in church. We have to tell ourselves from time to time, you get to come to church. Amen. It's a privilege. God's opened the door. He's made an opportunity. And so in that way, you'll be more thankful for it. And we do need to be thankful for being able to be in church even tonight. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, possibly one of the most difficult books in all the Bible to be able to read and with comprehension. A lot of typology, a lot of symbols, a lot of things that if you don't have a good understanding of the entire Bible, there's no way that you can get from Revelation what God has for us to receive from the book of Revelation. Once you have a good understanding and you understand about the Old Testament prophecies, and then you understand what Jesus Christ taught concerning the end times and all that is there in the Bible, then we can find a lot of application in the book of Revelation. And I trust that's what you've been coming for. That's what you've been helped by. We started teaching the Bible book by book and just one message on each book of the Bible to give us a better understanding of the Bible. And then we've been in the book of Revelation for some time now. But it's the Bible that takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. The things we can and need to know about the past, God's revealed to us, written them down, preserved them for us. It's in the Bible. That's history. That is proven history. That is what God says about it. And if when man contradicts what God says, man's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And the philosophies of the world and the philosophies that Satan is going to try to get you to yield to, whether it's religious or not, you got to be careful that because that'll destroy your faith. That'll destroy the help that God has for us. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is what we need to hold to, and He reveals to us the history of the past, the things we need to know, and then if we're looking for the future, we need to look to the Word of God. He reveals to us what we can and need to understand about what's to come to pass, what is in the future. And if you have the things that God gives us and you're preparing for whatever God has given to us in the future, amen, we even preached on that this morning, we don't know what a day may bring, but God does. And if I just prepare for whatever that day may bring and there's a way of preparing for that, I'm ready for it. And so God's revealed it to us so we can be ready for it. There's three thoughts we've been given, and I think that will help us as we study in the book of Revelation. First of all, God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. God has a purpose for that. Every word in this Bible, if it wasn't true, Jesus would not have said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This Bible is every word written down for us. It came out of the mouth of God and has been written down for us. And so there's an importance to every word of it. And so God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. And the second thing is good men differ on some of the interpretations, not the doctrinal interpretations, but some of the typologies and some of the time frame. The book of Revelation is not all in chronological order, but we can understand the order of the book of Revelation. And so some men will differ a little bit on the order of it, what's coming first and how long this is going to take place and all the different things. And that's fine. My salvation's not dependent upon everyone agreeing upon some of these things. And so it's not something that we want to argue over. And we just, if there is something there, just agree to disagree on what that typology is or whatever it might be. And you move on. And then the last thing is this is a practical study. I'm a practical preacher. I just want to be able to teach the Word of God in a way that you can apply it to your everyday lives. I believe that's why God's given it to us, so that we can live by it every day. and being able to apply it. So even the book of Revelation, I believe that there's been some practical truths here that we've been able to learn from and to apply to our everyday lives. Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19, dealing with a seven-year tribulation period. Everything in these chapters are dealing with the seven-year tribulation period. They're not all done in chronological order. There's a break from time to time when John is shown a few other things to go along with what's taken place during the tribulation time. But during those chapters, chapter 6 through chapter 19, that's where we've been for some time. We're in chapter 16 now. And chapter 16, the seven vial judgments, the last of the judgments upon the earth. God gives the order to end the reign of sin on earth. The order was given. And the reign of sin will be no more. He will stop that. And he will cast, first of all, Satan. He's going to bind him for 1,000 years. But he's going to cast his cohorts, the false prophet and the Antichrist, into eternal Gehenna hell. First one's in. Hell, the eternal hell was prepared for Satan and his angels and his followers. And so that's going to take place during this time. And this, God gives the orders in chapter 16 and verse 1. He says this is the order. He gives it. And so the end is to this reign of sin as seen in these seven vial judgments. Last week, or the last lesson we taught was a second vial judgment and a third vial judgment. Second, third judgments. These were turning all the waters of the earth to blood. Now again, some will say it's actual blood. Others say it's just a red-like substance that looked like blood. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue with that point. The Bible calls it blood. And so is that somewhat of a type of blood? Is that what he's talking about? Or is it actual, is it animal blood? Is it human blood? What? But it doesn't matter. But God is going to contaminate the waters. That's what it's about. And the fish are all going to die. There's going to be a massive fish kill in the oceans and in the fresh waters. And so in verse 6, it tells us the reason for this type of judgment. Understand that we get to choose whether we sin or not. You will not get to choose how God judges you and your sin. No, that's up to God. But God knows how to judge sin. He knows how to chasten his children. He knows how to get you where it hurts, amen? What to do in order to get you to the place where you will have a chance to repent. Turn back to him. Verse 6, it tells us why he turned the blood, the water into blood. He says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." They're reaping what they had sowed in killing the prophets and the saints. And now God is judging them. One of the judgments is they get to look around and see nothing but blood. The waters of the earth will be turned into blood. Well, now we're looking here in chapter 16, verses 8 to 11, judgment 4 and judgment 5. And if you'll stand with me, we're going to read verse 8 down to verse 11. Hopefully you're caught up to where we're at tonight. And you're ready to receive what God has for you in this study in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16, beginning in verse 8. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for every opportunity that you make available to us to be in church. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. They had opportunity. They took advantage of their opportunity, and they're here. And God, I pray that you'd bless them because of that. I ask God that you would give each one of us as ears to hear what you have to say to us through the preaching and the teaching of thy word. Work in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The last of these vile judgments, the fourth and the fifth, and in verses 8 and 9 we find the fourth. First, we saw in the third, second and third judgments that the waters of the earth that God created was turned into blood, and God judged them through the waters. Can I tell you, the people of the earth are not acknowledging God's existence during that time, and they're not thankful for what God had provided for them. And so another one of the reasons that God contaminated the waters, they weren't thankful for the waters. God is the one that gave us the waters and gave us the fresh water that we might be able to drink to sustain life. And they weren't honoring God. They were not glorifying God. They were not acknowledging God and His blessings upon their lives through the waters. I tell you, if you fail to give thanks for it, you're more often than not, you're going to lose it. I think we need to be thankful for what God gives to us and how He blesses us. Well, now we find that He turns His attention now through the judgments to the sun. Where'd the sun come from? According to the Word of God, God reveals to us that He put the sun in the sky to give us light by day. And He put the moon in the sky to give us light in the darkness. And God put them there. Every time we see the sun, especially in the wintertime, we always thank the Lord for it. Amen. You go too long without seeing the sun, I'll tell you what, the oppression sets in. And the wintertime, the cold, and all the different weather conditions you go through, you got to fight the oppression. You got to fight that and just realize that the sun is still shining. It's just above the clouds. It's still there, and we'll see it sooner or later. But because they were not glorifying God for what God had blessed us with, and that's the light, then God is now going to pour out His vial upon the light, the sun, and use it as one of the judgments, the fourth judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. That's this next judgment that God pours out upon the earth during this time. The heat and radiation from the sun is scorching man on earth. And there's no escape. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the summertime when it really gets hot and it kind of overpowers the air conditioning units, you're thinking something's wrong with the AC. We're spoiled anymore. I mean, you know, it just... And you start getting hot and you're wanting more air conditioning. You want it to be cooler. And yet it's doing all it can do because it's 105 degrees outside. It's not going to keep it 60 degrees in the house. Well, at this point, you can imagine what's taking place on earth with the sun now. God has poured out His judgment upon the sun, and the heat from the sun is intensified to the place where it's actually scorching men on earth. The air conditioning units can't keep up with it. I mean, they're going out all around the earth, and there's no help for them because of the heat of the sun. They can't keep up. You go outside, and the sun is so bright, and the radiation is coming down, and before you know it, you find yourself sunburnt. Now, I don't know about you. I remember as a child getting sunburned and thinking I couldn't handle that pain. I'm thinking, Mom, you got to do something. I'm hurting here. And I put on towels of water and turn a fan on just trying to cool it down. And it felt good at the beginning. And then the skin absorbed all that water and turned into blisters. And now, not only do I have the pain of the sunburn, but now I have the itching of the blisters popping. I'm thinking, it's not worth going out in the sun if it's going to cause this to happen. But this pain, somebody comes up to you and pats you on the back and you're, in pain. You start peeling. All the different things. Well, it's going to be intensified. God is going to bring this kind of heat to the earth through the sun, to where it's going to scorch men. And those things are going to dry up. And you think we have forest fires out in California and around the country during the heat of the summertime, just one little spark from a cigarette or whatever causes entire forests to be on fire and burning houses. And you can imagine what it's going to be like at that point. There's going to be fires everywhere. Fires that cannot be controlled. Fires that cannot be put out. And men were scorched with great heat. All this has taken place. So what do the men of the earth do? And they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. They blaspheme or curse the name of God. Now, of course, many of the earth right now, they've already turned away from the God of heaven. They're starting to worship the Antichrist and all that's there. They've turned away from any thought of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, being the Savior. But yet, when it gets to this place, they want to use the name of God in a way to curse and blaspheme Him. It's not a coincidence that the lost want to use the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ to blaspheme Him. That's Satan working in their lives, whether they realize it or not. And they'll use the name of Jesus in a way that it should not be used, and that's a blaspheme. And they'll use the name of God in ways that they should not use, and that is blaspheming. And they'll be cursing and using all the vile language because of this sun and this plague. Well, then we go to the fifth vial. Look in verse 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Now you see, these are in succession, one right after the other. So right after they have this fervent heat, now God blocks out the light. And his kingdom was full of darkness. Now they still have the sunburns, and they still have all this radiation poisoning and everything else that's going on. And now God blocks out the sun and the earth is full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. God blocks out the sun. And now those on earth are blinded to what has really taken place here. And they continue to blaspheme the God of heaven. Now think of all the pain from all the previous judgments. Think of what's taken place on this earth. We've already studied this. This is the fifth judgment now. And the first one was the sores. Their entire bodies were filled with sores. And the waters were turned to blood. All the different things are taking place. Now, this is going to take place on this planet Earth toward the end of, if not the very end, in the last of the 7 year of the tribulation. That's what the Bible tells us right here. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. That's the fourth and the fifth judgments of God. God has a purpose for revealing what He's revealed. Why would God want you and I, during this church age, to be aware of how He's going to bring judgment down upon this earth. We're not going to be here. If you're saved, praise the Lord, the rapture will take place. We'll not, but he wants us to be aware of this. He's written it down for us to be aware of this. And so what is the practical application, the key application? I believe the key application and possibly the main reason God has revealed this to us today. In verse 9 it says, "And they repented not to give him glory." They repented not to tell God, "Lord, we should have been thankful for the water. God, we should have been thankful for how you regulate the sun." Giving him glory for what he had provided, and they did not do that. They blasphemed the name of God. And they repented not. Verse 11, it says the very same thing with the fifth vial judgment. "And blasphemed the God of heaven and heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Even while this is going on, the judgment of God is coming down upon them, and they're not repenting of what calls it, and they continue on in their sin. Still living in sin and still giving in to sin, even though all of this has taken place around them. They repented not. Again, think about it. The people have sores that won't heal, sunburn and radiation poisoning, no water, a stench of dead fish, and now darkness and cold without the heat of the sun. And still no repentance toward God. Which is nothing new. Ezekiel. I want you to see Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel chapter 18. Again, this is how you understand the book of Revelations, and you understand the practicality of it is by having an understanding of what God has already revealed to us through the prophecies and what Jesus Christ himself taught concerning the end days. When Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 18, he lays it out for the children of God concerning this very same thing. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 27 down to verse 32. Verse 27, the Bible says, "Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive." The message of God is, when the wicked turn from their wicked ways and look to God, then God will save them. God will forgive them. God will heal their land, if you will. Ezekiel goes on to say, "Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live and shall not die." Repentance. That's what he's talking about there in verse 28. "Because he considereth," he's thinking in his mind, "and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live and he shall not die." This is what God is speaking to the children of Israel, and that's concerning repentance. This goes hand in hand. If you compare what God has revealed to through Ezekiel, the prophecies now, at that time, and then compare that to what's taken place on the earth during that tribulation period. Verse 29, "Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal." There's a problem there. Now you're saying God is a liar. God is not just. You're railing on God. That's what's going on. "Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal?" Mark it down. God's ways are always righteous. His judgments are always right. His ways are far above our ways. And yet we want to think that our thinking is better than God's thinking. Our ways are will work better than what God tells us, God's ways. He says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die? You don't have to face this judgment if you'll just repent. O house of Israel, for I have no pleasure in death, in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. If they want to blaspheme God, blame God for causing all this thing, all that's taken place on earth, that ought to have led them to the place, if they think God is doing this, then there's a reason that God is doing this. It could possibly be because of my sin. If this is happening to me because of my sin, why curse the one that can stop it? Why blaspheme the one that can remove it? Why not try to do what he says? To see if he'll not bless what he tells me to do. Can I tell you that it's always been God's desire for man to repent? And yet today, you're not going to hear that preached a lot, because in order to repent, you have to be convicted. And no one wants to come under conviction. If the preacher by chance would stand up and preach against my sin, well, we're going to have to do something about that. Got to put him in his place. He's not there to bring conviction. I shouldn't feel bad when I come to church. I ought to feel good, and I ought to feel like whatever I'm doing is all right. In order for a person to repent, there has to be a sense of doing wrong. If you never come under conviction of doing wrong, you'll never repent to do right. But man truly does not want to do right. They want God to bless their lifestyle. And if it means changing the Bible to get approval of the way I want to live, then change the Bible. Change the doctrine. Change what you're preaching. That's a mindset of humanity. It always has been. We look from the Old Testament. We look at in the book of Revelation what's going to take place on this earth during the tribulation period. It's human, the human philosophy. It's a human mindset. And God is saying, I want you to know what's going to take place, because I want you to have right thinking in this church age. It's always been God's desire for man to repent. God has always done his part. His ways are always equal. They're always just and right. His part is grace, mercy, and truth. Grace is unmerited favor. The kindness of God, not because we deserve it, but because of God's love, he shares it. Unmerited favor. God loves us. Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. Truth is God's ways. The truth of all of it is man must repent for God to forgive and to restore. Man must come to the place to realize, I'm lost. Because of mine own sin, I deserve hell. I deserve the punishment of sin, the judgment of sin, because I'm a sinner. But I'm so thankful that God loved me, and even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So thankful that God has given to me mercy and grace and a gift of salvation if I'll just ask. Wow. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it very clearly reveals that we have to confess and forsake our sin. Confession is, first of all, the first step to forgiveness, and that is, confessing is saying, I'm guilty. In our court of law, before the sentencing, once the jury has already found the person guilty, the judge wants to hear that person stand up and confess. All during the trial, they are going to claim innocence. All during the trial, they're going to try to convince the judge and convince the jury that I didn't do it, I'm innocent. But once they have been found guilty, then the judge, before he sentenced that individual, he says, we already know that you're guilty. You have been found guilty by your peers. Now, before I determine what kind of sentence I'm going to give you, I want to hear it from your own mouth. Confess. And if the guy has a good lawyer, he's going to tell him, you had better confess because he already knows that you're guilty. And if you try to claim innocence now, he's going to even give you a stiffer, harder sentence. Throw yourself at the mercy of the judge and claim and confess that you did it. The evidence is out. They know that you did. And so now they want to hear you confess it. And if you'll confess it, he might go easy on you. But the truth is, if you're not going to confess it, I guarantee you he's not going to go easy on you. God knows. And so he says the first thing, you have to confess it. Confess what God already knows. You're guilty. But it doesn't stop there. Not only does he say we need to confess, we have to forsake. The forsaking is, I'm sorry. I never want to do that again. As much as I'm going to turn away from that, I will never do that again. That's forsaking. And that's repentance. And once we do that, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John, and we're getting back to that here on our Wednesday night study, but John preached the first message, repentance. Great message. The most needed message that the world had need to hear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know the first message that Jesus preached? The very same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is a change of mind that will lead to a change of life. That's true repentance. That is not only confessing, but that is forsaking. And if you truly have forsaken that, then it's going to lead to a change of mind that leads to a change of life. R.A. Torrey said this. He says, repentance of sin is such a sorrow for sin, such a change of mind about it, that leads a sinner to turn away from it with all his heart. True repentance. Did you get a hold? That's true repentance. Whatever it is, whatever sin it is, we need to be aware of that so that we can confess it, because it possibly is. That's why the judgment of God is upon your life or my life. That's why there is a chastisement of a child of God, because there is sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life. And God says, you can't fellowship with me if you have unconfessed sin in your life. I cannot bless you if you have unconfessed sin in your life. I want you to come to the place, and I'm going to work in your life to get you to the place where I can bless you. Praise God that he works in our life to get us away from sin to a place where he can bless us. Thank God for conviction.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for the revelation that the Spirit of God reveals to us of our sin to give us a chance to confess it and forsake it. Today, God is working. He's revealing it in Revelation. He's working there. What he is doing was to get them to acknowledge God, and they blaspheme God. The Bible says that they blaspheme God, and not only did they blaspheme God, but they repented not of their deeds. They wanted to continue to live the same sinful lifestyle. So, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He tried to get them to turn from their sin in the Old Testament. He revealed to them, when you turn from your sin, this is what I'll do for you. You position yourself, my blessings are upon you. You're a powerful nation with my blessings upon you. If you don't have my hand upon you, you're going to be defeated by even the little town of Ai. If we don't have God's blessings upon us, we're going to be defeated. What keeps us from having the hand of God upon our lives? Sin. What will enable us to position ourselves for God's blessings? Repentance. Amen. So God is working today to get people to the place where He can bless them. But at the same time, we fight spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 12. Spiritual wickedness that try to keep us away from God and His church so that we might not repent. Because if you're not in a church that's preaching the Bible, you're not going to come under conviction of the Holy Spirit like you will when you sit through a preaching service. Like you will when you hear the Word of God presented as God wants it presented. So if Satan knows that, he's going to try to keep you from reading your Bible. He's going to try to keep you from praying, getting into a relationship, a conversation with God, who when you get alone with God, will reveal to you, if you want to have it revealed to you, God will reveal to you. He'll make known why the judgment of God. He'll make known why the chastisement. He'll reveal to you the sin that needs to be confessed and forsaken. Time with God. Time in church. Yeah. If you're not getting that, you're not going to see it as you need to see it. And if you're not seeing it the way God wants you to see it, you'll never repent of it. Because you're justified. We'll justify it. All of us. Somehow, some way, you will justify that which God will not agree with. You see, sinners need to change their minds concerning sin. Revelation. What did God bring out? During the judgments of God, why is it there? Practical application. They didn't want to change their lifestyle. If all this is going on in my life, I tell people all the time, when I find myself in a trial, when I see something happening in God's Word, I want to learn whatever it is that God has me in that trial to learn as quickly as possible. Because the sooner you learn it, the sooner you can get out of that trial. Amen. And God's taking you through that trial to teach you something, to help you to see something, to position you for greater blessings upon your life. It's not just to make you feel bad. It's not just to make you have to live in torment. That was not, as what Ezekiel revealed to the nation of Israel, as God's revealed to them, it wasn't God's pleasure to bring them to this place of pain and suffering. But it was God's intention to help them to have the best chance possible to repent. And they would not repent of their wicked deeds. They blaspheme God. Well, we can be stubborn. Amen. Don't give in to that. Keep your heart tender before God. I remember Cherie. She always had such a tender heart. And she came to her mom and she was crying. And she says, I got to tell you, I said some bad words. And the reason, one of the reasons, Crystal had been holding it over her. Amen? I'm going to tell if you don't clean my room, if you don't do this and you don't do that. And for a little while she gave in to it. She said, then she finally got wise and she said, I'm going to go confess. And she said, Mom, I remember Steph said, well, what'd you say? She said, I said, dang. Crystal had her convinced that that was a cuss word. And because she was convinced it was a cuss word, then she was under conviction of thinking that it was a cuss word, and she didn't want to hurt Mom and Dad's feelings because she thought that she had said a cuss word. And finally she got to places, I got to confess it. A tender heart. I would much rather see that than somebody justifying some of the most horrendous sins that a man or woman could commit. Hardened in a heart. Because the harder your heart, the greater the trial, the more severe the judgment to get to the place where you might repent. Their heart had been so hardened during this tribulation period. The people's had sores that wouldn't heal. Sunburn and radiation poisoning. No water, the stench of dead animals and fish, clear water and salt water, and now darkness and cold. And they blasphemed God, and they repented not. How far do you have to go? Luke in chapter 15, we're done. Luke in chapter 15. I love this chapter, chapter 15. In chapter 15, Jesus teaches parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in all these parables, there was one main point. In verse 7, after the lost sheep, let me get there myself. Luke in chapter 15. And I say unto you, after he gave the parable of the lost sheep, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10, after the parable of the lost coin. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Then down to verse 20 with the lost son, the prodigal son. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, confession, and thy sight, and no more worthy forsaking of the sin to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. God doesn't want to judge. He wants to show his grace and his mercy. The angels of heaven, they rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Repentance. I believe the reason we're seeing what God has recorded concerning this fourth and fifth judgment, these vile judgments before the end, see how far man will go and still not repent. Learn from that. Keep your heart tender before God. As soon as you are convicted over any little sin, be quick to confess it. Be quick to forsake it. Be quick to look to God for forgiveness. Yeah. Because if you'll do that over the little sins, you'll probably never get to the big sins, the greater sins, the sins that destroy more of your life and other people's lives. When you get to that place, it's because you've already covered up this sin and that sin and made excuses for that sin and on and on and on. Be quick to confess and to forsake any sin that the Holy Spirit of God would bring conviction into our lives over. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Joy in heaven over repentance to God. What stage are we in tonight? Is there a minor sin, possibly something that I need to confess and forsake? Has it moved into something a little bit more serious? Or has it blown into something unthinkable? There still is the possibility of forgiveness if there is genuine repentance and forsaking of that sin. But you have to come to that place. Position yourself for God's blessings, not for His judgments. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of the Word of God. Even as we look into this book of Revelation and we see what has taken place, help us, Lord, to make this practical application in our own lives today. I believe that's why You have it there for us. And Lord, if there's those here tonight, if there's something in our lives, God, I pray that You would just reveal it to us. Don't let Satan blind us to the hindrance it is to Your blessings upon our lives. Help us to get to that place of confessing and forsaking whenever it is we are aware of sin. Meet with us now in this invitation. Direct each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.